back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy. We're live from Radio Row at the Miami Beach Convention Center. Super Bowl live. Appropriate we get Super Bowl live. I like that.
That is very appropriate.
What is that Roman numeral? Is it 54?
54, 54.
We are actually 54.
Yeah.
I like it. We should go back to Roman numerals. Classy.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm L1. That sucks. You start using them fancy letters.
Yeah, keep yourself connected.
Yeah, I remember.
As soon as you get out of the X's, it's over.
Yeah, like Super Bowl 50. They ditched the Roman numeral. They went with Super Bowl 50. Yeah,
they didn't want to
do Super Bowl L.
I guess I can understand why. I can understand why Super Bowl L would look a little weird. We got a couple cool prizes for you guys today. I know Leroy's excited about this. We have a pair of tickets to give away to Impractical Jokers.
Look, I already put in a request, and it's not even – you know who really wants to go? My daughter.
Really?
She can't stop watching. I'm like
– I haven't watched Impractical.
I said, hey.
You can't miss it. It's true TV. It's all the time. All the time on true TV.
All the time. I said, hey. I said, Daddy does this every day. I'm like, I said, you don't remember the day you came over and Daddy's friend got his back waxed, right?
Oh, yeah,
or Tobin jumped in the pool.
Oh, I was not happy about that. I was
First of all, it wasn't a Speedo.
That. First of all, it was.
No, like it was a redneck Speedo. You just wrote Speedo on your
whatever,
on
man.
Your tidy whities.
It was the same piece of clothing. It served the same purpose. It was an embarrassingly small amount of clothes, and I jumped into a cold pool.
Fine.
It was, and then all of a sudden, Mrs. Horde is out there, and Little Horde is out there.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, what the hell is going on here? Right. I was not expecting an audience.
Well, who's gonna?
I don't know.
He's back. Who had no hair?
So we got a pair of tickets to give away to Impractical Jokers. Don't miss Impractical Jokers at the BB&T Center on February 9th. Tickets are at LiveNation.com. You guys listen for that. We will give a pair of tickets away to that this morning. Plus, we have a pair of tickets to give away to Zach Brown Band as well. So keep on listening to that, and then we will, of course, this is our final week of code words to run this week. So you guys will have a chance to win $1,000 as well in the 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock hour. Keep it tuned for that. Robbie is going to get you caught up right now. Let's dive into it and get to headlines.
South Miami and WSFS-FM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
So, yeah, there really is one headline, and that's that Kobe Bryant and his daughter and seven other people tragically passed away in the helicopter crash yesterday out in California.
Unbelievable.
It also included is the Orange Coast college baseball coach John Altobelli. Altobelli and his wife and daughter are also on the plane. And there was also like an assistant basketball coach in kindergarten, K-8 assistant basketball coach. She was also on the plane. Yeah, an assistant girls basketball coach at a K-8 private school, Christina Mauser, was also on the plane, and she
Jeez.
Died too. So it was those are just what we know on the plane right now. And apparently it wasn't supposed to be a good day for flying. I remember it was bad weather in the area. And
was it?
Yeah, and like I think there were. I heard Amy Lawrence on the way in like, talking about how it was like all the helicopters were like grounded.
Yeah, he's
a freak.
Nobody else was flying
right
because of the fog, and I guess he went. Like, it sucks when you know. I guess they were going to a game, so what do you say? Hey, man, let's go. Let's do this. You know, I don't know what transpired there. But
that was the thing known about Kobe, though. Like, he took frequent helicopter rides to practice, didn't he? Like,
right.
Avoid,
well, that's
LA
the only
traffic.
Way he went into town or
right.
to Staples Center. He took a helicopter. But, I mean, what do you do when the weather's bad? Because you know you're getting up to take a helicopter ride.
Right.
You're not getting up to drive.
Yep.
So, at that, I mean, guess they were all pot committed.
Yeah, and apparently the copter was in the climb before the dive hit in there, and so apparently it was a massive hike for the fire department.
Yeah,
to
nobody
get out
could
there.
Get to
yeah, cause
it.
Yeah, because it was
jeez.
So, yeah,
and you know a lot of there were some NBA games that they did play, and just about every single one had some sort of tribute to Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, a lot of people were taking 24-second violations.
Or
how about this one?
8-second violations.
Somebody said I checked it and it works out. Trae Young and Devin Booker both shot 24 shots and combined for 81 points.
Oh, that's cool.
But they didn't. They didn't play against each other.
I saw Trae Young.
It's just a random.
Yeah, I saw Trae Young wore number 8 too.
Right.
Trae Young wore number 8. As soon as people were chanting Kobe in Memphis, Devin Booker's like breaking down on the court. Like these guys are young too. These
but it doesn't.
These aren't even in the. They're not in like Kobe's. They're not. They didn't play very much.
Right.
With Kobe, but if they did at all.
Here's what you have to understand. In basketball, unlike any other sport, because of AAU, because of all a good high school basketball player gets to meet a lot of these guys.
Right. Tyler Hero, going into college, knew like Kevin Durant, like had a relationship with him.
Exactly. So there are a lot of these connections that you don't get in other sports, and when you hear, these two guys played, on the same team here or AAU or they did this camp or, they all have these ties with one another, either draft or whatever. And because, the teams are smaller, they have all-star games, they have, the Olympics and the World Cup and whatever you call it. They all have these ties together. So it doesn't matter, say Kobe, and Kareem, that bond because they both play for the Lakers. So it's a much smaller group of guys. The bond is a little bit tighter knit than, other sports. And so I could clearly see how a lot more people than you would expect that play basketball now would be shook by this news.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think he also – I think Kobe Bryant, I would say that he has a fan base more passionate about him than any other basketball player.
Because it – in basketball, more than any other sport, we don't question whether Barry Sanders was better – than Emmitt Smith.
Right.
Like, you just say, hey, who's better running back, Barry Sanders or Emmitt Smith? Nobody cares that Emmitt Smith have the Super Bowls and all that. Barry Sanders better running back.
Right.
And it's not a knock on anybody. We just automatically say that. Who's a better quarterback? You have more of a argument with quarterbacks, right? Well, who's better here or there or whatever. But in basketball, the argument is never ending. It's never ending.
Right.
So when you talk about, what one basketball player did for his team versus what another one, Jordan versus Kobe versus LeBron, where does D-Wade fit? Like, these conversations will never end.
It was funny. I was listening to on the way home yesterday from after doing Fighters Fear, I was listening to Brian and Rashad, and they actually were having a LeBron, Kobe, Michael Jordan debate because of the news of Kobe – because of LeBron passing Kobe the night before. And I'm just like, man, we're still doing this debate. Now you miss those debates.
It's one of those things that, and because we're so one way or the other, there's no nuance in that. You a Kobe guy. You can't be a LeBron guy.
No.
You can't like both of them in different situations. You can't. No. If you a Kobe guy, you can't be a LeBron guy. If you're a LeBron guy, you can't be a Kobe guy. And and it's weird, but there's only one person that I remember hearing the arguments, but now there is no argument, and that was Jordan. Okay, they would talk about all the older players and their impact, Bill Russell and all that. But soon as
Well, I think the reason I say that I think the fan base for Kobe is more passionate than Mike is because with Michael, I don't feel like if you were a Michael Jordan guy, like everybody was a Michael Jordan guy, basically,
right,
unless he ripped your heart out, or if you were an Eastern Continent, obviously he broke your heart, but everybody knew that guy was the best,
right?
Everybody,
right?
With Kobe, he had this idea where there was debate, Shaq carried you, then then you guys broke up, and then he won with D Wade, and then he had this renaissance, and remember then he changed the number, changed the hair, looked exactly like Michael Jordan. This is single white female kind of stuff where you're trying to carbon copy the guy. You're doing his moves. You're learning everything that he's doing. But then you find out, you get the statement from Michael Jordan yesterday where he was like a little brother to me. That it did mean something to him. That the guy that he wanted to be like was you know, you made an impression on him, you know, from a basketball standpoint, from that.
I assume also they're probably going to do some sort of tribute tonight at the American Airlines Arena when the Heat take on the Magic tonight. I assume they're going to do some sort of tribute before the game.
Yeah, I would think so.
Probably double shot clock violations to start the game as well.
Yeah, I would think so. I don't think the Heat had practice yesterday early. So I think before the new structure, none of them reacted there, and they're not having shoot around today. Mm-hmm. So I don't think anybody's speaking on the Heat's behalf probably right before tip off when you know, Spo does his regular thing and locker room. I don't know if people will be speaking there or not, but
There was also a couple of tributes done in the Pro Bowl yesterday. Za'Darius Smith, the Packers defensive end, he got a sack, and then like a bunch of
oh, they all did the fadeaway.
Yeah, they all did the fadeaway Kobe in there too.
That's cool. You know, there's a lot of tributes coming out from everywhere. I know Derek Jeter wrote something for the Players Tribune yesterday. He goes, this is from Derek Jeter, Marlins CEO, of course, former Yankee shortstop, now Hall of Famer. This is what he wrote in the Players Tribune. All I ever need to know about Kobe Bryant was this, that throughout our friendship and the most meaningful conversations we had were always about family. Put aside one of the all-time great basketball careers for a second. Put aside the famous work ethic, the mama mentality, and the incredible will to win. I'll let everybody else tackle that. But when I think of Kobe, I really just end up thinking about the few special personal conversations that we were lucky enough to share with each other. Each time one of us had a new baby daughter, I end up thinking about how here was this guy who was beyond a gifted athlete, who was obsessed with becoming a champion, who was known as an absolute assassin with the ball in his hands. And in the moments I got to spend with him, he didn't talk about any of that. He cared about much more about being a husband to Vanessa and a dad to his girls. He loved his family. He was his family, and that was important. And that's the Kobe that I'll remember. I want to give my deepest condolences to Vanessa and the rest of the Bryant family, to the families of the other passengers. Tragedies like this have a cruel way of reminding us what's important in life, spending time with our loved ones and being there for them no matter what, which makes today's events seem especially cruel because no one needed less reminding of that than Kobe. I've seen the guy go for 81. I've seen him hit all kinds of buzzer beaters. I've seen him win gold medals, championship rings, but I've still never seen him look as happy in those moments on the court as he looked on the days off of it with his arm around Gigi, sitting courtside, just talking. Yeah, sure, they were talking hoops, but you got the feeling that in those moments that he would have been content talking about anything. Kobe just loved being a dad, and when it comes to his legacy, I really hope that we're able to take the time to remember that as an essential part of it. Rest in peace to Gianna Bryant. Rest in peace to the other passengers on board, and rest in peace to Kobe Bryant, who knew that his life was only as important as the love that he had for the people in it, who knew that he was born to play basketball, but it was family over everything. That's Derek Jeter in the Players Tribune.
Lakers versus Clippers tomorrow.
Is it?
Yeah, that's the TNT game after the Heat Celtics. It's the Lakers and Clippers. So.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the video of LeBron off the plane. He was. I think they found out on the team plane while they were.
Yeah, they're flying back from Philadelphia.
Now question. Do we want to see that?
See the game?
No.
Oh, see him crying?
Do we want. Like, do we want a mic in these guys' face the second they find out? Like, because I've seen it a couple of times, and both times it made me sick. I want to allow people to grieve.
Yeah,
people to do what they need to do to, you know, kind of deal with the situation before they go out and talk. And I think it sucks that we're in a world today where you don't even get a chance to do that. You don't even get an opportunity to do that. And I told you earlier, I saw the thing on Twitter with Amari, and it made me sick. It made me sick that, you know, at the lowest form of this profession, that became more important than
you saw with Tiger too. Like right after he got finished playing,
They told him after he got done.
Yeah,
but. Again, they said during the whole thing, fans were yelling,
yeah,
and he had no idea. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? We see.
I know that in I think it was the San Antonio game. I know that the media didn't go talk to the players. That only Popovich spoke, and he appreciated that.
And you know, right? And like, shouldn't it be like where have we gone sideways in life? Okay, because guess what? You know, no matter what you do, who you are, the circumstances of life don't evade you.
There's also going to be a point, too, I think, where LeBron, I think for him, knows that he's got, because of his stature in the game. He knows
there's
that
there's a time. I'm not saying
he's also, but like the last social media post is to him. Like people are gonna want to hear from him.
At some point though, like so you think it's like so we like
when is
okay?
I don't know.
I'm just saying that okay. At some point, okay, at some point, you're taking the natural,
yeah, you
you're separating the human being from the basketball.
You don't
want to
see like what we saw with Doc Rivers yesterday, where he's you know he's breaking down
now,
in front
now,
of cameras.
I will say this, coaching is a little different in that you have that press conference. I'm not talking about if a guy says, hey. You mind talking about Kobe? I'm not talking about those situations. I'm talking about the situations where, and somebody just texts in, the broadcast apologized for showing LeBron they should be sorry.
It was a helicopter shot. That's why I don't think, you know, you don't know what his reaction is going to be like coming off
right.
The plane.
But still, like, where are we with that? Where, like, you just almost feel dirty about it. Like, I do. I always want to have respect for people to give them the opportunity to grieve, mm-hmm. to give them an opportunity to get through the situations and the circumstances that we as people have to go through also.
It's also a strange time, though, because I know you're not as much of a social media guy as I am, but, like, man, people – his friends, his loved ones are grieving kind of as it's happening on Twitter.
Right,
and I know
because
there's not a camera in front of their face.
Right.
But like, you're literally getting Dwayne Wade's right. instant reaction to this stuff happening.
Well, but they put it on Twitter at their mm-hmm. – you see what I mean? That's different. Like, it's like, how would you like to be the family member or the kid or the loved one, the wife or anything that finds out on Twitter?
Yeah.
Right? It makes me sick because we don't – people don't get the opportunity to grieve and go through things like
– the world moves so fast. It moves so fast.
That's fine, but guess what?
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It just is what it is. You know, it's like
– No, I get
it. It's like,
it.
You know, when I find out these days that like – you know, when I know this isn't even in the same stratosphere of bad, but I'm saying like when players find out that you got traded on Twitter.
Right.
Like I found out from Woj. I got traded. It's like, well – I mean, you know, sometimes Twitter moves faster than phone calls these days.
No,
you know?
It's true. It's true. You know, but still, man, I feel bad for the people, you know, like what about the husband and wife that was on the plane with their daughter? What if they have the kids?
Yeah.
Right? How do you know, they need a family member to get over there and you need to have that conversation with them. To somebody that knows them to break that news in a way that they can help, you know, kind of console them and help them through that situation. It's terrible. I mean, and everybody thinks, you know, I got to get that story now. And I've always been the type where, you know what, man, I'm okay if I don't have the story first for this one. I'm okay with it. And to the people that feel like they don't have to, somebody just said TMZ reported it before the family found out.
That's what like, yeah, we said that last hour
right.
that the LA that the sheriff's department was very mad.
Okay,
with,
but guess what?
With them.
Where do you think they got the information?
Oh, probably from somebody in there.
Right.
That doesn't mean that everybody wants it out.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like okay, man, that's not like I get it. I get it. I understand. That everybody wants to be the guy, you know what I mean, to do it, but it just is part of this business or this profession that just makes me sick. It makes me sick. I feel bad for all the parties that involved, for the loved ones that you know that lost someone close to them, whether it's Kobe's family or the basketball world, the other people on that plane, but on the helicopter. But at the same time, like, yeah, man, we tend not to only want understanding of a circumstance if it affects us personally. You know what I mean? So all these media members that went and stuck cameras and mics in front of their face, what if we did that if they lost a loved one? They would say, please respect our wishes and please. Well, you can't do that. So.
We'll be back with more after this. Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy. We are live from Radio Row at the Miami Beach Convention Center. Robbie the Degenerate is here with us. How is the gambling scoping already, Robbie?
Oh, man.
How's the early scouting been going on for you?
Oh, man. I have so many bets. So many bets to get into, whether it's, you know, the game, whether it's the halftime show. I already got the Puppy Bowl in there. Like, you know, there's a zillion props and, you know, and so many props for the game itself, too. It's out of control.
It is going to be out of control. I want to go check out the NFL experience at some point. Yeah. Today. It's in the building here.
There's also additional national anthem bets. Like, I already made the over-under on the time, but you can now bet on if she's going to wear a skirt or whether she's going to wear pants. You could bet on what microphone she's going to have, if she's going to be on a stand or she's going to be holding the microphone. Oh, is her hair going to be black? Yeah,
she's a little thick, isn't she?
Demi Lovato?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna guess. No, she ain't wearing a skirt.
I mean, it depends on the weather. Like, if it's a warmer day, I think she'll be in a skirt. But if it's a little chilly, she might want to wear pants.
No, so
if
she's
it's
not wearing a skirt.
If it's iguana level, she's gonna button it
up.
Oh,
by the way, on the golf course,
monsters. Oh, they're just peeled over.
Not no more. Hey, I'm telling you now. I'm thinking that looks like the one Tobin caught.
I got this close to getting one in full summer mode. This close, I got caught in a thicket, so I wasn't able to get my last reach. But he almost got hung up like this. He was like hanging on by one claw, but I wasn't able to get my fat ass through the bush, so I couldn't get that one tail. And then he jumped it right into the canal.
What do you do in your off time?
Oh, it was a great time. It was on the back end of my son's fourth birthday party. So, you know, we were cleaning up, and everybody was a little scared of the iguana, and I was like, not me, let's go. And I was trying to get him.
Oh, my God.
By the way, my son was, I mean, you want to talk about jacked up on Mountain Dew chip. I mean, this birthday party.
All he ate was all the candy. My wife
had the idea. She goes, I got an idea. Let's do two piñatas, one for big kids, one for little kids. Oh. And I told her, I said, you realize if you have two pinatas with your four-year-old son there, that's two pinatas for him. That's not two pinatas for everybody else. Like, it's nice that you're going to try and break them up by age group, but he's going to see the first pinata, it's going to unload candy, and then if I tell him there's another pinata, he's going to go after that one as well with a bat full of fury. And sure enough, we open up this first one. Now, this I don't know where she bought this pinata off of Amazon. It was, like, from Bangladesh or something like that. This was the strongest pinata known to man.
Nobody could break
this pinata. And she gets the most bum-ass pinata stick. It's, like, made out of plastic. I'm like, you can't go with a wiffle ball bat pinata stick. You gotta go something with some thwap on it.
They doing it so people don't get hurt.
No. No, you need to take that thing out.
You know what you do? Let me tell you what you do. Future reference. You know, you have that broom, you unscrew that little thing, or if you have a pool, you take that pole, tighten it up, have at it.
I ended up just having to rip it from the back, right on the loading dock. Tear open the tiger.
Just a little bit. You partially tear it to give him a little starter.
No, this thing had the durability. It was unbelievable. So I had to just end up breaking it straight up in half. And then my son. So all right, we'll see. We seem like veterans now. We go to tiger number two, tiger pinata number two. It's a tiger party. Loves tigers. And he was like, oh, great. So my wife goes, all right, everybody, kindergarten and older, it's your pinata time. And Tommy goes, oh no. Oh no.
This is my show.
My pinata time too. So one kid was like, that's not right, you're not sharing. And I'm like, I don't think that's gonna get through to him, kid. Sorry. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, you're gonna get the candy. Like, you're gonna get the candy. But
you ever notice how fair kids wanna be when it's not them?
Right. 100%. Well, my son ended up, so here was the move. Like, I ended up taking the tiger. He ends up going like Khabib on it. He starts ground and pounding it. Like, he gets on top of the tiger and starts going, fwa, 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 starts hitting with the punches. Yeah. Wow. He had fun. Ended up with no ring pops, though. That's tough.
Ring pops?
Oh.
That's what we're in.
Ring pops were a hit. I go to my wife, because my wife, she, you know, this is the funny thing about her. You know, she wants to get all this food, right? I mean, you know, but when it comes to the candy, she goes bum ass on this. I'm like, what? Let me tell you something. If you're gonna go and load up two pinatas, you got to do it right. And so I go, I said, you know what kids love? Kids love a ring pop. So I ended up, you know, going with the old ring pops. Hit. Kids loved it. We had two buckets full. Not no more. Gone.
Really?
Gone.
Wow.
Yep.
All right.
Nuts. Anywho. Heat are back in action tonight. They are taking on the Orlando Magic. Heat are banged up. Jimmy Butler has a sprained right ankle.
Did he twist it? Did they show the little, you know, how when
it looked
they landed?
It didn't look great. And that was already a game where he was coming in.
With a groin?
Yeah, he had felt. Was it groin or hip?
It might have been hip.
He had a hip, and then he got poked in the eye.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he fell bad on a 3-point attempt. And then he had the ankle twist. So.
Yeah, it was a flagrant foul. I remember that 3-point attempt.
Yeah, so it was a rough night for Jimmy Buckets as far as the injuries were concerned. Dragic and Nunn were questionable for tonight. They missed the last game, and then Bam has right ankle soreness. Yeah. That's not fantastic.
And you got a back to back too. You got today and tomorrow against the Celtics.
I don't think Jimmy Butler's going to play tonight.
Yeah,
I don't think Jimmy Butler's going to play tonight. I think especially if you have a game tomorrow, if you can get an extra day. You're not going to beat the Magic anyway. Let's be honest. They beat you every time.
It's true.
They always beat you.
Didn't they win last time? Yeah, they did.
No, the Magic.
Nah, he never beat the Magic.
They scored 6 points in the fourth quarter and lost by 20 points.
He never lost to the Magic over the Big Three era, and I think they've been pain to the gods ever since.
Oh, it might have been. You know, I think the last time they played a back-to-back, and they won the second.
Yeah, I believe they've lost 5 of their last 6 against the Magic and, like, 9 of their last 13 against the Magic.
Jeez.
That's nuts. Hey, let's give you a chance right now. To win a pair of tickets to Impractical Jokers. They're going to be at the BB&T Center on February 9th. You guys can get your tickets at livenation.com. Call us up right now, 786-360-0790. That's 786-360-0790. Call number 3 will get themselves a pair of tickets to Impractical Jokers. We will be back with more after this.
Let's go. Guests on 790 The Ticket appear on the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy. We're live from Radio Row. Miami Beach Convention Center. How are you liking the landscape so far, Leroy?
I like it.
Starting to see some people get in here, too.
Yeah, we're not the only people here anymore. It's starting to get some company. It's nice to see. Nice to see.
Y'all know nothing about that money, power, respect, huh?
Oh, yeah. All about it. I know about the money.
Vlad,
I know the power and the respect.
That's like, Vlad, that was like, I'm talking about the song. That was like a little throwback to the 90s. Y'all don't know nothing about that. I was killing it.
Oh, no, man. You got first you have the money, then you have the power, then you have the respect.
There you go, Tobin.
See?
There you go, Tobin.
That is the order that life is built on.
That's the key to life.
Yeah, man. It's obviously a weird day today.
It's weird, man.
You know, I'm telling you, man, the whole thing I'm sure had everybody messed up yesterday with Kobe's accident, with the helicopter going down. But just I mean the thing that video of him and his daughter, I just like that one just
it
I
does,
can't,
man.
I can't get it out of my head.
You know what? Here, the other thing that one of the first things that came to my mind was like I didn't know how many people were on the helicopter.
Yeah.
First, it said it was 4. You know, it was 5, including the pilot. Then I heard 7. Then I heard 9. And they said, you know, depending on how the helicopter's configured, you can fit, you know, even more than that. So it sucks that, you know, for the first 5 hours of the coverage, it was all about Kobe, you know, because that's the person that touched the most of us.
Right.
But there's other families grieving, you know, just like Kobe's family. And I felt bad for them that they're going through the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, but I get that. Like, you know.
I get it.
Kobe's the guy that, you know, people, you know, sports gives a lot of people feel good, Leroy. Like there's some times where you've had sports to just help you with grieving, and to know that that is just like a guy who you had a lot of those moments with, or that you lost yourself with, or were entertained with, is just gone in the blink of an eye. When he looked, I mean, this is a guy who's looked like a god amongst men, you know,
right.
Like looked like
mm-hmm.
the most unstoppable thing on a basketball court, and then that guy's just erased.
Right.
And it just tells you, like, it tells you about the fragility of life. Like, it's just like, whoa, that just happened to that guy, like that.
Right. Right.
That's why it hits so hard when it's somebody like that, an athlete, musician, or somebody who you lose, even if it is in a tragic accident where a lot of people are gone, like. You know, there is a certain reach that these athletes have that I think you don't even realize how much it is until it's gone. And I think we're going to be even stunned by how much it kind of just stopped the world yesterday.
I don't think, like, yeah, man. I was more – I look at things – I tend to look at things a little differently, and this is probably one of our, you know, dynamics that we have on this show, is that I look at things like just totally different. I'm like, man, I hate when, you know, and he started to feel this. He started feeling the love from everybody. But while he played, he didn't.
Oh, no.
Right? You know, and so.
I liked rooting against Kobe Bryant. I told you. I'm a D-Wade guy.
Of course. But there's a difference. There's a difference in, you know, rooting against a player and how we sometimes go after athletes.
Right.
And I say we because, you know, I guess I do what I do now.
You got Melo.
So,
you go after Melo.
And so now, no, but guess what? I don't go after Melo how people go after players. I go after Melo because of what he does on the basketball court. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But I've never.
What's fair is fair.
Right. I've never attacked Carmelo. Like, just because I think you suck at your job don't mean I hate you as a person. I don't think Carmelo sucks at his job, but I'm saying just in general.
If you think the way he does his job sucks.
Right. Like, you know, there's a lot of people don't like James Harden. Mm-hmm. But what we do is we take that the next step. We don't like James Harden, you know, and that's where I kind of separate from this. And I think with Kobe, it's amazing. Like, besides Laker Nation, or young, I would say your demographic, I would say there wasn't this much love when he played.
No.
You know? And that's what bothers. Like, man, just hope.
There was from the, like, that's why people look at Kobe Bryant, like, they call, you know, Kobe Bryant fans, like, zealots or cult. Like,
yeah.
The people who follow him,
yeah.
Ride and die with Kobe. They ride and die with Kobe like none other.
If
like
you're a Kobe guy.
If you're a Kobe guy, you're a Kobe guy.
Yeah.
And if you weren't, like, you know, and it was an interesting time because, you know, like, Kobe was, like, on this outskirts of, like, basketball getting, I guess, quote-unquote, smarter, where people are talking more about efficiency.
Right.
With a three-point shot.
Right.
And Kobe was, like, you know, he wanted to perfect the mid-range game that Mike had, all those type of moves
he
that
he
had.
Buckets.
The,
he was
the buckets
score.
At the end. You know,
right.
Like, and, I, you know, I don't know what that's going to look like as the days, as the years age on, what basketball is going to look like. But that's what everybody kind of idolized about him, is that all that stuff be damned. Like, this mother, like, perfect example. Like, you remember do you remember the Big Three era? You remember the game on the road in LA? And it was funny because I remember Phil Jackson called the Heat. He called him. He said what they're doing is Xbox basketball. You can't just throw three guys on the court and think you're just going to work it out.
Right.
And meanwhile, like, the funny thing about it was like the Heat and Spo were kind of on the cutting edge of like, no, we're going to talk about efficiency and the and
positionless basketball,
make the right shots.
Right.
And so it felt like the Lakers were the ones who were kind of like aging out of it. And then you think about like these big time, every big time matchup that those guys would square up felt huge. And like this mother bleeper's hitting a bank shot at the end of a game to beat the Heat. Like,
oh, I remember. Right. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, unbelievable. That's it. But, you know, it's like, you know, when I think of, you know, Kobe is like the last of the big time scores, you know, I guess the closest thing to the style of game that Kobe played and was big in that time frame, you would have to say is James Harden, where they just roll roll the ball to him and say, go win us a game. Well, go get us buckets. Go score us points.
Yeah, it's like it's going to be interesting to see how many guys can be like the shooting guard, be the best player on a team, and that guy, and that's going to lead you to a championship. Now you kind of have to be like, you know, LeBron size, KD size,
right,
Greek freak size, maybe if that becomes the next era. You know, I guess you could throw the Warriors in there, but even the Warriors, like, look, they were souped up with everything. So I don't really put that in the same vicinity. So it's I don't know if we're gonna see a guy like that. But I'm with you. Like, look, I'll be honest with you. Like, yeah, there's plenty of things with Kobe I rooted against or made fun of. I posted this video yesterday. I remember covering Heat Lakers down here. This was in 11 on for the station. I think Frito went and covered the home locker room, and I got to do road. So I got to go. Do Kobe, and this was. I remember it being an important win because the big knock on the Heat that year was couldn't beat a good team. Couldn't beat any of the elite teams. Mm-hmm. And then the Lakers came down. It was Kobe versus the Big Three, big game and all that kind of stuff. And so the Heat ended up winning. Kobe had a great start to the game, ended terribly. And so ended up talking to him. I remember him getting into a back and forth with a reporter. He's got his feet he's got his knees iced up, his feet are in an ice bucket. So I think that's that. Okay, Kobe Bryant done. Cut the sound up. Send it off to the station and whatnot. Cool. End up going out on the so we walk through the little bows of the arena. There's like kind of a ruckus going on over on the hardwood where the Heat play. And you go out there, and it's Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant's out there shooting. He's out there just doing a post game shoot around Leroy, getting his shot right. And it was funny. I remember Tommy Tighe was sitting next to me, and it was one of the things. I took a little bit of video. I put it up on social media if you guys want to see it. But it was like, it was one of these weird things where you're like, man, look at this guy. That's pretty crazy. He's out there and he's shooting. And even Tommy's like, yeah, like this is pretty crazy getting to see one of the best, you know, work on his craft even afterwards. But then as it's going on, you're seeing all of the media gather. And then after he's done shooting for like a good hour, dripping sweat, mind you, already iced down, he already showered. So this is a post workout. He decided to come out, make a little state. Then afterwards, he's like, gonna kick back on these chairs, do a little another post game press conference. And so it turned into this thing where we're like, wow, look at Kobe. He's out here working on his game. But he was savvy enough to know. He goes, oh, no, 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 no. I'm going to make this a thing to show you how hard I work. Ended up making fun of it. So, and I remember Chris Bosh said to him, he's like, we should have turned the lights off on him. That would never happen.
Hey, well, we kind of have that here.
Hmm?
We kind of have something like that here that people question.
Hmm?
Jimmy Butler getting up at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
I believe him.
I'm not saying I don't believe him. I'm just saying, like, that's not.
Maybe he just takes a picture of the alarm clock and goes back to sleep.
you don't think they have to
snooze? Robbie's taking it to a whole nother level.
I'm just saying what you were suggesting. I think he's waking up at doing 3 a.m. workouts.
3 a.m. workouts.
Yeah, I don't know, but I just thought that was funny. I was just like, man, because I mean, there was a ton of media there for that game.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah.
It was like the Rachel Nichols, the who's were there of like the NBA media, and I was like, oh yeah, man, look at this guy doing one of the best doing his things, and then he's just like, hey, wait a second, all of a sudden everybody's watching this, and then he just waltzes right over to those floor seats and he goes. Just had to send a message, you know. We're always working. We're always working on this game. I'm just like,
did somebody give him no twisted face?
Oh, no, no, no. They loved it.
I'm like, that's how I look at you sometimes.
Me?
Yes. Yeah. I'm like, come on, man. Like, we know. We know. What if Jordan would have had a press conference in the basketball court he built at his house?
We're back after this.